Church on the Rock. It's so good to see you and to have you here. I'm so humbled, honestly, and honored to be able to serve here at this church. I really, truly am, and you guys are what makes it wonderful, honestly. How many of you guys know that a church is not a building? Amen. That when I say the church, I'm talking about people. The church is represented by people. Amen. Amen. So I'm honored to be able to serve with you and really to get the privilege to just do what we do here together. I love you guys so much. We're in a series right now. If you're our guest, we're in a series that we've been calling You Ask For It. We had this kind of intro video that we usually show, but I just felt like God was leading me in a different direction. So if you're our guest, you didn't get to see it. Sorry. But other than that, we're in this series that we call You Ask For It. And the reason that we call it this is because at Easter, we put out a survey and we ask you, one of the questions we ask is we say, what is it that you would like to hear God's word taught about? And you guys respond accordingly. And so what we do throughout the series is every week we're responding to your question. So this is a five-part series. We're in part number four today. And the topic that you guys have chosen for the day is kind of a big deal. I feel like we're just jumping in the deep end of the pool today. In fact, year by year, because I'm sort of a data guy, so I like to keep all the records from year to year or whatever. My assistant is laughing at me. She's like, yes, indeed. You are kind of weird. But yeah, amen, that's true. Year by year, I have kind of been proud, honestly proud, to see the transformation of this church, because what I've recognized year to year is you guys year by year go deeper and deeper with your questions. So we've answered a lot of tough ones, a lot of big ones this year. I feel like stress, by the way, it's always on the list. Everybody's always like, I'm stressed out. What does the Bible say about stress? So we talked about that in part number one. Part number two was kind of a tough one, but we talked about dealing with difficult people. Anybody got a difficult person in your life? Anybody sitting right next to them? No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Yeah, amen. And we talked about that, difficult people, because they're real. We all have difficult people in our lives. And what we really uncovered and unpacked scripturally is this, that when it comes to dealing with difficult people, the person that needs the most attention is not them, but it's you. And the Bible tells us that we have to reflect on our own hearts and we have to work on ourselves. So when we have difficult people around us, who we really should be looking most at is ourselves and applying God's word. And then what I did this year, I've never done before, and I did it without your permission, so thank you. I usually just, the number one most requested would be week number one and number two and three and so forth and so on. That would just be part one through five in the series. But I reversed three and four, because last week this was the most requested topic, but I reversed them, because then the last 2 weeks what we've talked about is spiritual warfare, and then today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, which I know some of you are already nervous, but just hang out, we're going to unpack it safely, we're going to unpack it very comfortably for you. But the reason that I reversed them is because how many of you understand and know that we are in spiritual conflict every day? Whether we recognize that conflict or not, honestly, and I don't mean this to be harsh or what, I'm not trying to be like a tough guy, but whether you even recognize it, are aware of it, or admit it or not, it is what it is, and it's very real. And the spiritual conflict that is around us is happening, whether we want to understand it or not, it's real. So last week we talked about spiritual conflict, and we talked about just a couple of tools that we gave. You know, we can use the name of Jesus. We can use God's word, right, in our spiritual conflict. But then today I wanted to unpack the Holy Spirit, because really it is the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that gives us the authority and the strength to overcome any spiritual conflict that we're in. So really last week I wanted to just sort of unpack the idea that it's there, and we should be aware of it. But today I would kind of like to unpack a little bit for you how we can find victory in it. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think that people get really nervous. And I think when we start talking about this subject, there's like a lot of different thoughts and ideas, because I think for most of us, we feel like we either have to be one extreme, like crazy, or one extreme stringent, or it's not good. And I just believe with all of my heart there is a beautiful flat balance of God's fullness and his power, and, can I say it this way, being normal. Amen. We can be normal too. I think that I've had a privilege to, I've grown up in church all of my life, been in church since I was just a little infant. And I feel like I've seen it all. Like, I've experienced everything that you're thinking right now. I've seen that. I feel like the only thing you could probably do in a church service to freak me out is bring the snakes out. I'm out. You bring out a snake, I'm gone. I just want you to know if the door's not open, I will make a door. But I'm not a snake guy, I'm gone. So other than that, I feel like I've sort of experienced it all. And here's what I want to say, that I have seen with my own eyes and experienced where what I consider, and I understand that people listening to the podcast won't be able to see my quotations here, but you can. I have seen the move of the Spirit, quote unquote, in such a way that it is just fleshed out, put on, and weird. And then I have been a part and experienced such an unbelievably overwhelming outpouring of God's Spirit that it really overwhelmed me in every way. Emotionally, spiritually, and physically, I have experienced God's power in remarkable ways. And I just believe that God is powerful and God does want to move on us in amazing ways. But I think that God can do that without it getting weird and without it freaking people out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, because I believe that there is truth in that. And I think that we, amen. Wayne, appreciate your, he's going to help me preach. See, I always say this, amens, I don't need them to preach, but they help. So thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to preach better now. But I believe honestly that this church, and I'm just, maybe I'm a little partial, but I really believe that this church has found that beautiful medium of God's fullness and God's power without being crazy. Because can I say it this way? As soon as the attention leaves God and gets on people, it's wrong. Okay? So we are very careful to keep our attention and our focus pointed at the Father all the time. Amen. Amen. So I want to unpack it this way, and I want to unpack it in a way where hopefully it doesn't weird you out and we can make sense of this person of the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know that God is three persons? He's God the Father, He is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think there are some people that embrace God the Father. Like, yes, I can understand that there's like a guy in charge. That makes sense to me. I can embrace God the Son, died on the cross for my sins, you know, paid something I couldn't pay. Like, I get it. But I honestly think there are a lot of people that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, they're like, yeah, I'll do without that one. And what I want to say to you is you can't do that, because He is God three in one, the Trinity. He is three in one. So to receive all God's fullness, I think we have to let our guards down and allow the fullness of God to have His way in our lives. So I'm going to talk about that today. So what I'm going to try to do is answer this question, because again, the Holy Spirit is such a deep water subject. I feel like, you know, like we're just cannonballing right into the deep end of the pool this morning, rather than, because I think that I could go on week after week talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm prayerfully considering a series about the Holy Spirit because of all He has to offer. But what I want to do today is just describe as best as I can who He is. All right, so let's go to God's Word. Right there in your worship guides on the inside, you'll find your notes. I want to go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and I want you to see this, that the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Amen. That's good truth right there. Like, we could preach the rest of the year on that, and it would be completely appropriate, because how many of you know people need to know Jesus Christ? Amen. They should make a public proclamation of that life change. Amen. August 6th, by the way, write that on your connection card. If you want to be baptized, we'll put you in the water. August 6th. That was my little plug. But it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. For the forgiveness of sins. How many of you know Jesus is the only way to the Father? All right, that's right. And then He says this, the Bible says this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like this gift, it's a good thing for you to have the Holy Spirit. And one of my favorite moments of Jesus' life, really in all of Scripture, is after He was crucified on the cross, went into the tomb, and then was raised to life again, and He's visiting with His disciples, and He's about to ascend up into heaven. How many of you guys know that Jesus ascended from earth into heaven, and the Bible says He's seated at the right hand of the Father praying for us? Amen. He's seated there, and He's praying for us. And right before this moment takes place, Jesus is communicating to His disciples, and He's telling them, He actually says these words. He says, I want you to know, it's better for you if I go away. And I just want you to put yourself in their perspective for a minute, because imagine sitting in a room with someone that you just endear in such an amazing way, that you love, maybe you've learned from so much, or who has had such an impact in your life, And you just couldn't imagine doing life without them. You got somebody like that, like in your mind. So imagine you're sitting in a room with that person, and then they say to you, I'm leaving, but it's better for you that I go. It's like, how is that better for me that I go? But Jesus continues. He says, because if I go, I get to send you the helper, the comforter, who will be with you always. And this is his reference to the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit coming in our lives, because what he's saying to them is, instead of having to walk with me, I'm actually going to send the Spirit of the living God to rest in you. So now you don't have to go to a Jesus concert, okay, I'll use that term loosely, where he's preaching and he's laying hands on and he's doing his thing to experience what he has. He's saying it's better that I go, because if I go, I can send you the Spirit of God, this comforter and this helper, who is going to be with you all the time. So now it's not limited to me and you. It's available to la-di-da-di, everybody. Some of y'all are getting it. Amen. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of a, we'll start a little bit theological in the beginning, but it's going to set us up for the application of the message today. The Bible is written Old Testament and New Testament in two different languages. So originally in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament written in Greek. So all of the Bibles that we read here in America obviously have been translated into our English language. So what I want to do to try to describe who the Holy Spirit is, I want to go back to the original language. So look with me, if you would, right there in your notes, write this word down with me. In the Old Testament, the word used every place that the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, any of those terms, everywhere that is found, we see this word, ruach, ruach. And to say this word appropriately, you sort of have to get that like thing going on. You know, like there's popcorn stuck in the back of your throat. That's kind of really actually the proper pronunciation. But check out how it's described. It's described not as a spirit, not as a ghost, not as something spooky. It's described as a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, and a blast of breath. This is how the Holy Spirit is described all throughout the Old Testament, ruach. Ruach, speaking of like this breath of God that is given. And he's mentioned in the second verse of all of Scripture in Genesis 1:2. The Bible says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And right here, and the Spirit of God and the ruach was hovering over the waters. I mean, he's mentioned at the outset of Scripture in the very beginning, there is the Spirit. And this is just a sidebar for you, but I believe that's how the Spirit of God always is. He's like, I'm ready, I'm ready. If I can just find some people that'll go, I'm just on the go. I'm ready to go right now. And as soon as God started speaking things into existence, the Spirit was moving. And as God, you know that creation, he spoke it all. Let there be light, and there was light. So as he, it's his breath, it's the Spirit, it's ruach that was manifesting all these things to take place. Now in the New Testament, write this word down with me, in the Greek, everywhere we see the term Spirit, Holy Ghost, anything like that, it is this word pneuma, pneuma. The P is silent, it's the word pneuma. And I want you to recognize its definition. It's defined as a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful thing. So everywhere we see this Spirit, it's not something spooky. It's not like, ooh. It's almost as if he's saying, it is my breath. It is who I, it is just my essence is what I'm trying to describe. So our English translators put the word Spirit or ghost. And really what they're describing, I actually don't think they did a poor job, but I think what they're trying to describe is it's his character. It's who he is. It's how he thinks. It's how he operates. So to know the Holy Spirit is to know the heart of God. And it's like this. It's almost like it has to be breathed into you, the very breath of God, the breath of life. Check out Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. This is the one that scares everybody right here, okay? This is the one where you get in a church and they start talking about Acts chapter 2 and you start getting concerned. Like, ah, man, what kind of church is this, right? But check out what the Bible says. When the day of Pentecost came, okay, Pentecost. This is a word I think that scares a lot of people. Pentecost, they go, ooh, man, that's the weird church. I'm gonna just define for you what the word Pentecost means. Are you ready? You ready? It's a little spooky. It means 50. Ooh, right? You okay? It literally means 50. The day of Pentecost was a Jewish day of celebration. It was 50 days after the Passover celebration. And this is the day that the Jews would celebrate the when God gave the word or the law, the Torah, to Moses on Mount Sinai. And it's, for them, this was like a great celebration. So it just happens to be on the day of Pentecost that God would move in such a mighty way that we see in Acts chapter 2. So it's saying on that Jewish day of celebration, they were all, being the disciples, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing, notice, of a violent wind, the Bible says, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And again, I think this freaks people out. But here's, you have to think about the context of Scripture. The Holy Spirit wasn't available yet because Jesus had just died. And he told them, when I go, I'm going to send a gift. The disciples, to send this comforter to you, and I've got to leave for him to be able to come. And he even told the disciples in the Word, he said, I want you to wait. I want you to wait for him because I'm going to send him to you, and then you can go out and you can be effective. So all we're seeing is the actual first encounter where the Holy Spirit became available to mankind. And it was in that upper room on the day of Pentecost that they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which now becomes available to every believer who says yes to Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is all we're seeing. And it's described here as this wind and this breath. So to paint a picture of who the Holy Spirit is, I want to use a natural picture that we can understand to try to paint the picture of a spiritual picture that I think some people struggle to understand. Does that make sense? So we're going to use the picture of wind to describe who the Holy Spirit is. So write some things down with me first. I'd like you to write this down, that wind is unseen. Isn't that true? I mean, you can't see it. You can feel it. You can see its effects. I mean, you've heard all this stuff before, I'm sure. You know that when the wind is blowing, you can see the rustling of the leaves in the trees, or you can see the sand blowing across the parking lot, or whatever. But we can't really see the wind, but we can see the effects that the wind has. Wouldn't you agree? In fact, some of you might go outside today, and when you open the doors and you get into the breeze, especially with the kind of the weather that we have, it's going to be breezy today. Some of you might walk outside and say, "Oh man, that feels good." Right? Whew, that feels good. Which is perfectly normal when we walk outside and feel a breeze. But if you're in a church service and somebody says, "Oh man, that feels good," the other guy's like, "What you feeling? I don't feel, what you talking about feel? What it feels, what's feels? Am I right?" We get a little freaked out. "I didn't feel nothing. What you talking about feeling? I ain't feel." Don't we do that? We get a little nervous because we can't see it. But the Bible's telling us that, hey, the Spirit of God, it might not be something that we can see, but it's definitely something that we can feel. It's something that we can, in fact, experience, and it's a good thing. Like the wind, man, that feels good. In the same way, the Spirit of God is like a breeze that blows. Boy, that sure feels nice, and nothing to be freaked out about. In fact, watch this. In John chapter 14, in fact, I'll give you a side note. If you really want to study this out, John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is the scriptural reference where Jesus is at the Last Supper, right before he's going to go to the cross and be crucified, and he's having some conversation with his disciples. And in the context of those three chapters, the subject matter, the most dominant part of the conversation, is in fact the Holy Spirit. It's exactly what he's talking about, because he's letting them know what's about to take place. So I'm leaving, but you can expect this great gift. And in chapter 14, verse 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father," and notice, "and he will give you another advocate." Some translations say counselor or comforter. And then notice what his job is: to help you. Not to freak you out, not to scare you, not to do weird stuff, but actually just to help you. That's the role that the Spirit of God wants to play in your life. And he says he's going to be with you forever. It's the Spirit of truth. It is the Spirit of God that will be with you forever. And then notice this, that the world cannot accept him because it neither, what, sees him, knows him, understands him. Like, it doesn't make sense to the world. You have to be in Christ Jesus for this thing to make any sense to you. You have to actually be in the family of God to really understand the fullness of the Spirit of God and what he wants to give and what he wants to do in our lives. Amen. Amen. Write this down with me. The second thing is that wind is unpredictable. isn't it? It's just unpredictable. Sometimes it just sort of does its own thing. I'm a hunter. I love to hunt. And I'm a bow hunter. You're going to hear more about that in a minute. But I'm a bow hunter, and I tie a piece of thread to the bottom limb of my bow, and I keep it about that long, and it just hangs. And that way, when my bow is hanging in the tree stand beside me, I'm always paying attention to the wind. It's very important to a hunter. It matters a lot because I don't want the deer to smell me. So I will watch that thread, and throughout my hunt, I will constantly keep my eyes on that thread. And the worst thing that can ever happen is when that thread's pointing the wrong direction. And what I've learned as a hunter is that sometimes the wind is unpredictable. And if I know there's a good mature buck in there and the wind changes, I'm going to grab my stuff, climb down, and I'm leaving because I ain't taking no chances. Any hunters out there? Amen. All right. But I've learned that the wind is unpredictable, and I just got to constantly keep my eye on that wind so that I can make sure that I'm in the best possible position. And I think this scares people when it comes to the Spirit of God, because they're like, well, what do you mean unpredictable? Like, that's the scary part, preacher. That's what I want you to help me with right there. How many of you know that God's a God of order and structure? God is a God who does things certain ways. In other words, God has systems in which he functions in. Let me say it this way, that God is a way that he has a certain character about how he moves, but he's not always tied to the method in which he uses. There are certain things we can anchor our faith down to, like Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. God is the one true God. There's a lot of things biblically and scripturally that we can just anchor ourselves to. But think about it like this. Only one time in all of the Bible did God speak to someone through a burning bush. Just one time. And if we're not careful, we'll create a denomination about that thing and we'll call it First Church of the Burning Bush. And if God didn't speak to you through a bush on fire, you're not hearing from God, because that's how God speaks. But only one time do we see somebody walk on water with Jesus, just one time. Because sometimes it's a little unpredictable, but the fact is God was always moving. When he spoke through the burning bush, he was transforming Moses' life. And when he put Peter on the water out of that boat, he was bringing him to an elevated level of faith. And even though the method changed, the process was still the same. The stability was there, but sometimes wind is a little unpredictable, just like the Spirit. And I'm going to show it to you right here in Scripture. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says the wind, you know what word that is? Pneuma. The word pneuma, the pneuma blows where? Wherever it pleases. That's right. And you hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from and you can't tell where it goes. Cotton Eye Joe. Y'all thought somebody else wrote that song. That's in the Bible. Amen. One third of you found that joke funny. I appreciate your support. Did you like it, Wayne? Okay, good. Thank you. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Sometimes the way God decides to move is a little unpredictable. I'll give you a biblical example. You can find it in Mark chapter 8. I think this is one of the funniest stories. I find a lot of humor in the Bible, and I just think this is a very funny story, because there's a guy, and he has a friend who's blind, and he says, oh, I'm going to bring my friend to Jesus, and I want him to heal my friend. So he comes to Jesus, and he tells him, he says, put your hands on him. Like, do the hand thing. Because that's how you do it to everybody. So go ahead, just put your hands on him. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus spit in the dude's eyes. Can you imagine being the friend? Like, of all the days to invite you to my church, and it's the spit day? Come on now. Y'all ever been nervous to invite your friend? Because you don't know what's about to happen? Mm-hmm. And I believe that Jesus did this on purpose. Because I believe that Jesus was saying, oh, you think it's the hands? Oh, you think that I can only function in this body? Well, I got something a little different for you. And he just spit on the guy. That's crazy. I don't know if I would invite my other friend back, except that the guy could see. And see, the thing is, it might be a little unusual and it might feel a little funny, but I'll bet if you're the blind guy, you'll take it any way you can get it. You want to lay your hands on me or spit in my face? No matter to me, but my blind eyes just got opened and I now can see. And I'm here to tell you something, that in our own lives, we might be able to see perfectly with our eyes, but there are areas in our spirits that are completely blinded. And I don't care how the Spirit of God wants to open my eyes. I say, bring it on. I'll take all you have for me. And if it's the spit in the mud thing and you put it on my eyes or whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, I'm your man. Amen. Amen. because sometimes wind is unpredictable. The third thing I'd like for you to write is this, that wind is powerful. It's very powerful. If you've spent any time in Florida at all, we understand the strength of the wind, especially if a hurricane comes to hit the coast. Yeah? We see the power of wind. Heard about this guy one time who decided, he was in his 50s, and he decided, I want to prove that I'm so fit, that I've taken such good care of my body, that a hurricane was coming, and he decided to strap himself to a palm tree to prove that he was physically fit enough to withstand the storm. To which I say, it's not so much that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing. I don't care how many push-ups you did this morning. If you get hit by a Volvo, it's over. Come on now. Wind is powerful, isn't it? It has an amazing way of generating strength. We use it to make energy. It's a powerful thing. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And here's what I want you to recognize is he's saying, once you allow the fullness of God to have its way in your life, you'll be different. You'll become a witness to Judea and Samaria. Can I say it in the context of our own lives? In your community, in your city, in the nation, and to the world. Because I personally believe it's about time for Christian people to just stop trying to blend into the world and actually do what the Word of God says, to come out from among them and be ye separate people and just walk in God's fullness and receive all that He has for us and walk in a sense of power because of what He's given us. That way, when the unstable world starts to falter, they'll run to the people who seem stable. And you'll be able to say, oh, it's not me. It's the Spirit of the living God that lives within me. Amen. Amen. We need that power in our lives. The last thing I want you to write with me is that wind is refreshing. Isn't it? Just refreshing. I told you I was going to talk about deer hunting again, and here it goes. Yesterday, I went out into the woods. In fact, Rob, who's in the production booth this morning, we both went out to the woods yesterday, and we were going to hang a tree stand in an area that I'd found, and so he came out there with me, and so we off the road, I mean, we got machetes and stuff, and we're just cutting a trail to get back to this area where I want to put my tree stand. And how many of y'all know it's hot in Florida? Yeah, it's hot in Florida. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning. It's stifling out there. We're fighting mosquitoes and spiders and snakes and every other critter. We even saw a scorpion yesterday. So all these critters, and we're out there, man, and we're just beating this trail and making our way through, and it was hot. It was really hot. And we got to this oak tree that I found that I wanted to set up in, and I have this kind of a stance, not all that it's pertinent, but here you go. It's got like these stick things that you mount to the tree, and you climb the sticks, and then once you get up there, you actually take the platform that you'll sit and stand on, and then you have to hang it to the tree. So we had put the sticks on, and I climbed up there, and there's this beautiful limb on this oak tree that just sort of, you know, swoops out like this, and I got up there, and I just sat down on that limb, and Rob was unhooking everything because he was going to send up the actual stand, and I was going to mount it to the tree. And when I got up there, the wind was just blowing on this open chop that we were set up on. And the wind was just coming, southwest wind blowing across there. And when I got up in that limb, you could just feel, I just said, oh man, I said, it feels good up here. And he said, yeah, I said, you should climb up here. It feels really nice. And when I just got to that higher level, man, that wind just starts blowing across there. And after all that sweating and all that work that we had done, it was quite refreshing. And I just sort of sat for him. I just pulled my hat off and threw it in the limb beside me and sat down there and just kind of embraced it, just sort of enjoyed the moment. And what I want to say to you is that the Spirit of God is a refreshing breeze that wants to blow across your life. He's not some ghost. He's not some spirit. He's not some spooky thing that wants to wreck the system of your life or your comfort. He just wants to blow a refreshing breeze into your life. And I believe that He's wanting to just say, just take it in. Just enjoy all that I have for you, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And I just want you to accept the fullness that I have for you. I want to be a refreshing wind in your sails. Amen. And the Bible speaks of it this way. I really enjoy it. It says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us, it was to us that God revealed these things. How? by His Spirit. All this goodness that our eyes can't imagine, our minds can't think, no eye has seen, no ear has ever heard, all of that goodness, it's revealed by the Spirit. So if I'm a person that's saying, hey, I'll take Father God, I'll take, you know, the Son, that's all good, but I don't know about that Spirit thing, you're going to miss all that right there. And God's saying, hey, take it in. Breathe deep, because I want to give you the fullness of all that I have. And listen to me, it's good. It's real good. So I titled this next little segment, The Trinity in Me. And I mostly titled it that because it rhymed. But I secondly titled it that. It's like preacher stuff, you know? All your points have to start with the same letter. Things have to rhyme. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Harmalytics is what they call it. But The Trinity in Me, and I want this to apply because, yeah, sure, it does rhyme. But the fact of the matter is, it's true. Because God wants His fullness to be in us. And I just would like to show you that scripturally. So write some things down with me, if you would. Number one, I want you to understand the three persons of the Trinity. And number one is this, that God the Father loves me. Loves me. In fact, He's described in the Bible, it says that God is love. It's not that He has love for me. It's that He, in His essence, He is, in fact, love. And then the Bible tells us here, in the book of John, it says, for God so loved the world. I love that little adjective, that so. You know, maybe it's not an adjective. Maybe that's more like an adverb or something. I don't know. My English teacher can tell me later. But I love the fact that there's some emphasis there that He so loved the world. It's not that, well, I found it in my heart to do you a favor. It's that I just loved you so overwhelmingly and so much that I gave my only Son, that whoever would believe in me wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. The heart of the Father is His love for us. The God in me is the God who loves me. Number two, write this down with me, is God the Son saves me. He saves me. And I love John 14:6. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because Jesus makes this bold, truthful proclamation. And He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. This is why, by the way, that I think Christianity stands alone among all faiths in the world, because this idea of, well, we're all just trying to get to the same God and however we got to go to get there, I say, no. The idea to coexist doesn't really work. And I'm not talking about being ugly. Come on now, don't leave the church and say, Pastor said be ugly to other people. No. I'm just saying that Jesus made a truthful proclamation that said there's only one way to the Father God, and it's through me. I am the redemption for your sins. I am the blood that was shed. I am the only way that your black sin can be washed white as snow from my red blood. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and nobody can access my Father unless they access Him through me. Amen. Amen. God the Father loves me. God the Son saves me. And number three, God the Holy Spirit is with me. He is with me. God is saying, I want you to have all of me. I want you to understand my fullness. I want you to walk in my power. I want the wind to blow in your sails and propel you forward always. And in 1 Corinthians, we're going to see a scripture here where the Apostle Paul, this is a letter written to the Corinthian church, and he's asking a question. He's asking a question. Go ahead, Rob, if you want to look on the screen with you guys. And the question that he's asking is this. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Notice this, who is in you, whom you have received from God. And I purposely ended the day with that question. Because here is the Apostle Paul communicating to an entire church family who's been in existence now for a long time, this Corinthian church. And he's posing the question, do you not know? Has no one made you aware of the fullness of God? That His Spirit actually dwells within you? Are you not sure? And I honestly feel that these thousands of years later, that same question is as relevant today as it was then. Do you not know? Did no one tell you there is a fullness that God wants to give you through His Holy Spirit, an indwelling that will give you the power, that will give you the strength, that will give you the stability so that when you're in the trial, when you're under the pressure, when you're feeling the weight, there just seems to be something that carries you through that. And you say, I don't even understand how this is possible. And the Bible describes this peace that surpasses all understanding. And you start remembering that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And all of a sudden, there's something that just seems to propel you through something that you wouldn't be able to sustain on your own. And you wonder, what is it? Well, did you not know that you're the temple? It's the Spirit of the living God. And I just want to encourage Church on the Rock to receive it all in its fullness. All of it. I'm encouraging you this morning to just breathe it all in. Take it all in. Receive all that God has for you. Amen. 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 I could just preach and preach, but I'm going to quit. I'm going to ask everybody in the room, if you would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I do this every Sunday, and I do it very intentionally. But as you're there, just heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask, out of respect to your neighbor, that no one is looking around, I want to share something with you very quickly. That this past week, we had 4 people in our church say yes to Jesus for the very first time. That's right. Yeah, you can praise God for that. Amen. 3 of those said yes in a moment just like this. Just exactly like this. And I just want to ask the question, are you here today? And inside of you, you sense a prompting, a leading. It's like there's a press almost saying, yes, this is your moment. Yes, say yes. I want to identify to you that that is in fact the Holy Spirit of God drawing you. The Bible says that it is God's goodness that leads us to change. I believe that the Spirit of God is a just hopeless romantic. And I believe that He is constantly just trying to woo us into the fullness of His love. So I want to ask the question, are you here today? And you know inside yourself that this is your moment and you need to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. This is a great opportunity for you. Here's what I want to give you some assurance on. We're not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. In fact, the last thing I want to do is embarrass you. It's the last thing. But maybe you're here and you're feeling that prompting. So here's what I do want to ask. I want to ask you to do one thing. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, count me in that prayer. Would you count me in? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? We had 2 people raise their hands this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is why we do what we do at Church on the Rock. This is it. We're not trying to be popular. We're not trying to be the coolest place to be on a Sunday morning. We're just trying to be real about who God is and give opportunities for people to encounter the fullness of His love. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask every voice in the auditorium, all of you, to repeat this prayer after me. Because again, I don't want anybody to feel singled out in this moment. So every voice, if you would, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I want to give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I want to breathe in all you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Would you stand to your feet and give God some praise? Yeah, give Him your very, very best. Amen, amen. All right, I want to point to something. Inside your worship guide was a connection card. Looks just like this one. Give me just a couple of minutes, please, if you would. This connection card is what we consider to be one of our greatest tools that we have. And here's the reason why. There's a lot of information and a lot of content on this card. But this is our best way to make a connection with you. And here's what I've discovered. Here's what I've discovered. That this life of faith that we live, I can't do it alone. I've just found that to be true. Every time I've tried to do it alone, I have found myself in a bad place. I need help. I need you. And what I believe for you is that you can't do it alone either. I think that you need help. I think you need us. And if you made a life change decision, my favorite part of this connection card is this section right here, and it says, my decision today. And I love nothing more than to look and say, who said yes? Who said, I'm committing my life to Christ today? Who said that? Who said, I'm going to recommit my life to Christ today? Who told us they want to be baptized and make a public profession of that faith? Who is it? This is what I get energized about. This is my favorite part of Sunday right here. And the reason is because, listen, we don't want to just say, oh, awesome, and then count it and then throw it away. The intention behind this card is that it become the connecting point from us to you. And not to be weird, like we're not going to show up to your house with like halfway cooked burnt cookies or something. It's not how we roll. But the idea is that we actually can just step in and just become a part of your life and just be a friend to you and say, hey, what can we do to serve you? How can we help you? What questions can we answer? You know what? You probably can help me. How can we navigate this faith life together? This is our heart and this is our tool. So I just want you to be very well aware of why it's there and what we're trying to do with it, okay? There's also all kinds of information on there. Like you could tell us things like, hey, I want to go to your Connect class, which is like our membership class. And we kind of tell you all about us. That happens the first Sunday of every month. You might want to leave a prayer request on there and say, would you pray for me about this situation? Every single Wednesday night, there's a team of people in here praying over these prayer cards right here. Every single Wednesday night. We just want to partner in life with you. We want to go on a journey with you. So I would encourage you to please fill that out if anything applies. Amen. As we close, I'm going to pray over you in just a moment. I want to say this. The way that you would get this card to us is on the back walls of our auditorium as you exit the building. There's two boxes. They're just mounted there. And we would love for you to take those connection cards and drop those in that box. It's what I look forward to the most. But I want to say this, that God, I believe with all of my heart that God has put some favor on our church. This might sound a little weird to some, but whatever. I believe that there is a window in heaven opening. And I believe that God has his eyes on us. I think we are one of many churches in this city, by the way. I don't think we are the best church. We're not better than anybody. We just do what God's called us to do. There are dozens of awesome churches in St. Augustine. And I think that window is opening. And I think that God is giving his provision to those churches that are saying, God, we want all you want. We want to do exactly what you want us to do, and we want to do it exactly your way. And the reason I feel like we're a part of that is because week by week, more and more people are coming to this church. Our 9 a.m. service was probably more full than this one. I had to print more worship guides this week than I've ever had to print because the last two Sundays in a row, we were running out and had to go print some between services because more and more people are coming. We recognize what God is doing. Four people gave their lives to Christ last weekend in this church, and two people rededicated their lives to Christ. This morning, I counted three hands of first-time salvations in this church. God is doing something. We do not exist to put on a show. We exist to see the power and the presence of God move on people's lives in a way that changes them for eternity. Amen? So what I want to say to you, and I'm closing right now. Trust me, I'm not preaching like my second sermon, okay? But I'm going to close. This is why I say what I say. We are aware that we've got to do something. We're not sure when two services up. We've got to build a building, expand on this one, move some. Like, we're not sure what that step is yet. We are prayerfully seeking God's face, saying, God, what is our next step as a church? Because I'm committed to reach everybody God would allow us to reach. Everybody. And in order, amen. And in order to do that, we have to create room for them to come. So we are strategically talking about third services. We are looking at every option out there, property, building. I mean, we are doing our homework. I only bring this up because those of you that are faithful to give to this church, I want to thank you for it. I'm not trying to guilt trip anyone into giving, okay? This is not the point. I want to thank those of you that are contributing into this ministry because you're not sending your pastor on a vacation. You're changing people's lives, okay? People's lives are changing because of you. It's your fault. It is. What you do changes lives. Every dollar you give, every moment you serve, every person you greet, every kid you care for, everything you do is having a part of what God is doing in this community. And I thank you. I thank you for being a part of it. It is the great joy of my life. It is my honor to serve with you. I love it. So I just want to ask you, please, let's lean in together. And let's continue to reach. We cannot stay here. That's the title of August sermon series. Y'all need to come in August. I can't wait to preach that. We cannot stay here. We can't stay here. Amen. So can I pray over you before we go? Father God, I love you. I am so honored to do what you have privileged me to do. And God, I'm even more honored to do it with these amazing people. What a blessing it is. And Father, I thank you for the favor that you've placed in this church. Thank you, God, that you've entrusted us with the most prized possession in this world, and that is people and relationships. We value it, God, to the highest level we possibly can. We are so honored that you would trust us. So, Father, our prayer is that we would steward wisely all that you've given. Father, we recognize, Lord God, that steps have to be taken. And moves have to be made, Father, so that we can continue to impact St. Augustine and beyond with the life-giving message of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person this morning that made a life-change decision in this place, every one of them. Father, I pray that you would just invade their hearts like a flood. Father, I pray your wind would blow in their sails and lift them exactly where. Father, I pray that we as a church would respond appropriately to serve them exactly where they are in their time of need, that we would come alongside and take this journey with them, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, those that are faithful to give, Lord God, of their time, their talent, and their treasure. I thank you for every one of them. I pray, Father God, that you would bless their lives. Your word is so full of promises for those that respond in obedience to what you call us to do. Father, as we continue to listen and to look for what you have for us as a church next, Father, we are just so intentional and so purposeful to please you. And Father, I pray that those people that are contributing in such awesome and sacrificial ways, that you would bless them the way that your word promises us, Lord God. Your word is so full of guarantees and so full of promises to those that give to your house. And I pray all the blessings and all that favor of your word be manifest and made true in their lives. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church on the Rock, I love you. Have a great afternoon. Go change the world this week.